Well, this last several months, probably now, weeks, months, I forget, I should have looked at what number we were in as far as this series. We've been talking about stewardship, Christian stewardship. And we're going to be talking about this morning stewardship of our health. And this is an area that is obviously connected to several others, including rest and other time management issues. But I want to talk about our health, primarily about how we think about health and how we think about using the health that we have or don't have so as to honor the Lord. Just kind of a starting out here, this I thought was helpful from the curriculum I've been using. There was this statement: if we use our bodies in the way God purposed them to be used, then by God's design we have tremendous freedom in what we do and how we do it with our bodies. In other words, if we follow, if we strive to live and use our bodies the way in which God has designed, there's a lot we can do and a lot of freedom in doing those things. So when we talk about health, we talk about even our healthiness, or when we talk to God particularly about our health or that someone else's health, what are some of the things you say when you talk to God? What are some of the things you ask when you talk to God, particularly about your health or someone else's health? What are some of the things that you say when you talk to the Lord? Stephanie?
Normally, it's pleading for the Lord to take away some sort of unfavorable health situation.
Yeah. You ask to help, to heal, to take away whatever the situation is, okay? What are some other, Lon?
Thank you that you're still breathing.
Yeah, thank you that you're still breathing. It was profound when I heard it, and more profound when I thought about it. One Christian minister who was getting up there had a health scare, and someone said to him something like, you know, we're glad you're still here, you know, and at the church. And the pastor said, I'm glad I'm still here, but I'm even more glad that I know I'm still here. His comment was about not just his physical health, but his ability to think clearly and be able to interact, which, again, we don't think about those two components as you're young. If you're young and you're healthy, you're going to be physically and mentally healthy. Barring some tragic injury, there's not going to be that disconnection. But that mental ability to think and to speak and to process information, to read, to whatever, is not something that we can take for granted, or we ought to take for granted. So thanking the Lord for being here and knowing that we're here and being as healthy as we are. Anything else that people might ask or say when they talk to God about their health or someone else's health? There's a question, a one-word question that sometimes people bring up. They ask why, right? Anybody ever heard somebody ask why? Why am I sick? Why is this person sick? Why this person and not that person? You know, why the righteous believer who is sick, really sick, and the unrighteous seem to be flourishing? These are questions that come up. I'm not validating these questions, but this is reality. This is what people do. They ask those questions, almost speaking back to God at times, but sometimes in just genuine, why this? Why now, Lord? Quoting here, people do ask the question, why? And we're used to asking why when our health is poor. Why do I have to get sick today? Why did this have to happen to me or to my loved one? But here's the question. If you've ever asked why or ever had someone ask why, have you ever asked, why am I healthy today? Why, oh Lord, can I breathe without coughing? Why, oh God, do all of my joints not hurt? We don't generally ask God the whys when we're feeling good. And that, I think, exposes at least a little bit of a problem in our thinking about our health. I remember years ago, I heard a sermon. Actually, it was on a, I first came across it in a sermon jam from John Piper. Sermon jam was, I don't know if they still do this, but they would take hip-hop beats and put, like, sermon, like, excerpts from men, guys' sermons over it. Some pretty cool stuff, actually. But anyway, I got to find those again. But it was a sermon from John Piper speaking about the Boxing Day tsunami from 2005? It was early in the 2000s. They just killed hundreds of thousands of people over in the, like, in Asia. And people would ask the questions of why, you know, why does this happen? Or even more than that, that there was, like, talking about God as being unkind or being, you know, this blaming God for what happened in his unkindness to people. I'm going to read here from a little bit. Piper made the point, and my point is this: he says, speaking to his church and then later to a paper, he said, "God only makes headlines when man mocks his power or belittles his goodness when it comes to calamities. But he makes no headlines for 10,000 days of wrath withheld." I found that to be a very provocative and very compelling statement. God makes headlines and is mocked or is belittled by man, which is a funny thing to say, funny in a terrible way. For when God allows and brings about calamities, but not for when he withholds those things. In the same way, the questions of why or the anger at God happens on individual levels at times when you have the diagnosis, you have this, the bad timed sick day, the injury that takes you out of whatever competition, whatever it might be, and that can make you angry, but not for the innumerable number of days when that wasn't your plight. So I think it's important when we think about our health that we think about the questions of how we, you know, asking God why he's doing what he's doing, thanking him for those things, the kindnesses that he's given to us, but also emphasizing the blessed days to help offset or to help at least minimize that strong, even frustrated why question on those tough, difficult seasons. So, next question, I want to start, and this is going to be an interactive question, so and just don't raise your hand. Just give me some answers for this question here. Why would a non-Christian say that his or her health is important? In other words, why would they focus on having a healthy body? Why would a non-Christian say that his or her health is important and want to focus on having a healthy body? What are some of the reasons that a non-Christian would do that? Lon.
Here and now.
Here and now, okay. Angela?
Yeah, they don't want to die.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Why would a non-Christian say that his or her health is important? Any other thoughts?
Maybe some are motivated by enjoying their family.
Okay. To be happier, to have that kind of pleasant experience, not just to continue living, but to continue living in at a level of enjoyment. Okay.
As a kind of a superficial, that I did it myself.
Yeah. To be, for sure, accomplishment. Okay. Other reasons might be for success. To have, I'm going to be successful in my field. You think of professional athletes and their care for their bodies is pretty amazing. I heard a very talented and highly paid football player talk about his love for Brussels sprouts and how he loves Brussels sprouts. It's one of the top two veggies, he says, which, I mean, now you got to be really high on the greens to love and to really want to fill your body with Brussels sprouts. Some people love them. I don't get it. But the point is, some people take it for all, you know, they love. Okay, who loves, not just tolerates or is okay, who loves Brussels sprouts? Give me your hand. I knew there would be one. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, it's still the minority, even though a lot more than I thought. So I apologize for my speaking ill of the Brussels sprouts. But anyway, they can have all the reasons for that. Or it could be to be independent. They want to be able to, as they get older, want to continue to live on their own. And that's not a bad thing. But as you continue to grow old, you want to stay independent. So if that's kind of some of the reasons why non-Christians would say focusing on their health is important, to live longer, to live and enjoy life more, to be able to be successful in some various aspect of life, how should a Christian's response be different than that? In other words, should a Christian's response be more than that for our health? Should our response be more than, I want to live longer, I want to try to live and enjoy life more, I want to try to be successful? Should our answer be more than that answer? I think it should be. So what should, if we're thinking about the goals for why as Christians, why we want to strive to live healthy lives, what are some, how would we answer that? How can Christians maybe add to that and have a better Christian answer for why we want to be healthy? Okay, we want to be useful, to be of service, because we know that our bodies, our health, is ultimately a stewardship from Him. Okay, what about just, yeah, go ahead.
Like, you treat it as an act of worship.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, our body is God's temple. The Spirit literally dwells in us, and we want to not that we want to go overboard, because you can do that. You can go overboard on you can fall off ditches on both sides, in sloth or in total like fitness excess. You can fall off the ditch in both ways, because you can get into different problems in either way. But ultimately, caring for the body that God's given you, because it is where the Spirit dwells, okay? So we want to serve, we want to take care of that the temple that God has given to us, the temple of the Spirit. But if we're talking about, if one of the reasons that everybody stays healthy is to live longer, why do we want to live longer? To serve, but also to praise God, to give God glory in all that we do, in worship, in service, in all things. And so, again, as we think about health, stewarding our health, the issue is not merely about minimizing aches and pains or being able to play with grandchildren or great-grandchildren or even children without being worn out by the little buggers or whatever it might be, you know, without being injured over easily by playing those games. By, you know, we want to have all the reasons to do that, but it's also to, again, to praise God, to serve Him, to care for the body that's given to us. Because now, granted, this body is that we have is affected by sin, but our bodies will be with us forever, perfectly whole, new bodies, but we will have bodies forever. So the big difference between what an unbeliever says about health or thinks about health and what a Christian thinks about health is based upon what God has said is the purpose for us living and continuing. That's really the basis here. What's our purpose here? So Number one in your outlines, again, this is the repeated emphasis in this series. But one thing when we talk about stewardship of our health is remembering that our health belongs to God. Our health, our sickness, our life, and our death all belongs to God. Ultimately, He is in control. He has written down that first date when we were born. He's already written down that last date when we will die. And He has filled in all of the activities in between with what His intention is for our lives. Colossians 1:16, "For by Him," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "all things were created, both in heaven, in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him." All things. And we are physical, spiritual beings. And part of that intentional created nature for us is that we have this health that we must steward. And our health, our very health belongs to God. So God also not only possesses the ownership of our health, but He also has authority over our health. What are some specific areas of how people use their lives when it comes to health issues over which God specifically asserts His authority? Like, what are some specific activities that relate to healthiness, relate to how we use our bodies, that God has explicitly asserted His authority over? What are some areas? Okay. Eating and exercise. There's one more explicit, probably one of the most explicit in the scriptures. What, rest and what?
Fasting.
Okay. Let me ask this in a broader way, because you're right. There is a sphere of life, physical activity, over which God has explicitly asserted His own authority. The area in which I would even say is highlighted and promoted by culture in a way that is against what God's command is. In other words, any marketing uses this area of health to get you to buy their products. And you're reading, yes, Stephanie.
Sexuality.
Yeah. This is the area of health, the area of healthy use of bodies that God has explicitly asserted His authority over. All things, but this explicitly, and this is explicit because when we talk about God's sovereignty over the lives of people, this one will give you much more of a speed bump talking with unbelievers than, say, maybe rest will. It will. But God has authority over all of these things, including the very central focus of so many and so much of cultures, both present and past. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, in the context, Paul is talking about how we use our bodies. But we are to eat, that is true. And he says, but our bodies are not made for immorality. And he goes on to say in verse 20 that you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. So what, all things from the food we must intake to the very good creation plan of God for children and for creation of children and the making of families, all of those things are underneath His own authority. And this is God's command and his authority over all people, not just believers, but for believers who have been both created and redeemed by God, the command for adhering to his principles and his program for health in all areas, particularly in the area of sexual morality, is even more pronounced. Because, I mean, though this isn't the main issue to talk about, I think, when speaking about sexual immorality is misusing our bodies, and it is very surely jeopardizing the health of our bodies. That there's no way around that. Even you talk about just mental, what that kind of activity does in your mind, but also physically what that does, and all kinds of problems that can come because of those things. So we need to be careful that to see that God has authority over all areas of our life and of our health. And we ought to be mindful to be careful in our following his prescription, but also in honoring him as we do so. So two main principles of stewarding our health. Number one, God owns our bodies. God is sovereign, can do whatever he pleases. We have to remember that it is God who gives us life. It is God who gives us sickness, allows us to be sick. I mean, I think of Exodus chapter 4. When Moses is wanting not to be used by God, he wants him to send somebody else. The Lord says this, "Who has made man's mouth, or who makes him deaf or mute? Seeing or blind, is it not I, the Lord?" That while we understand that the devil, under the authority of God, has the ability to, like he did, inflict Job with various trials, various physical ailments, it's all under the sovereign oversight and authority and working into the overall plan of God. And so when we're talking about health or sickness, life and death, all are under the authority of God. He is the one who is in control. Deuteronomy 32:39 says this, "See now that I am he, and there is no God beside me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal, and there is none who can deliver from my hand." If we understand that God both gives health and he also gives sickness and hardship for his good purposes and for our benefit as believers, we can see and steward our health and our sickness and transitioning between the two in a better way. But that is one important principle for stewarding health. I was following the caring bridge for a friend from our old church, a young lady who has cancer, and she made the point in her caring bridge post, said something to the effect of, "Satan's throwing everything he can against me, but God can pull me through." And I don't want to minimize, or I don't want to nitpick that necessarily. But what we need to be careful is that we don't see that sickness, we don't want to only see the devil in sickness, if I can put it that way. We need to see, as Christians, the providential, benevolent hand of God in my health, whether I have no troubles breathing, no troubles heart pumping, no troubles thinking, or I have all those problems. We want to see God's hand in all of it, because he is the sovereign God who works all things after the counsel of his will, and he causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That includes my sickness. That includes your health. And God is not unaware or unconcerned with how those things the various fluctuations in health or in sickness affect us. Sickness, death, is a burden and a hardship that brings grief, because death, the separating of the soul from the body, is in every single, is unnatural in that God created us to be ensouled people. Ensouled people with ensouled body. I'm missing my language here. Bodies, souls together. That's how he created us. And because of sin, the death that separates that is not, that there is this unnatural sense about it. This judgment. And all the tears, all of the hardships that come as we walk through the life that is filled with one degree or another of sickness, of health issues, we always need to remember that God is not just sitting back with a chessboard and impassionately, or dispassionately, I should say, moving pieces around. He is intimately concerned and caring for the actual life activities of his children. Psalm 56:8 says that God puts my tears in his bottle. He knows and remembers all of the plights, all of the things. They're not irrelevant to his interacting with us. So we need to remember that God owns our bodies and our health. He all our health comes from God, and he is sovereign over our health and our sickness. And he is with us and remembers us in our victories and in our tears. Second principle is that we are to use our health for God. Very simply. I mean, that's the second principle. That we're here for a purpose. Our bodies are to be a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. We've been made to glorify God. And that is not just in a disconnected way, as it's just one part of my life, one part of my being, but of my entire life. And though simply being healthy and eating clean or whatever isn't itself praising God, but it absolutely can be used so that it can help us to praise him, to serve him, to honor him better. Those are two principles. God is in control, and we are to use that which he's given to us for him. Now that's, again, I'm not necessarily the greatest fan of John Piper. I've appreciated a lot of what he's done in the past. But he has a book he put out years and years ago called Don't Waste Your Life. And basically one of the things he points is, don't waste your sickness. Don't waste your illness. Whether to learn a lesson that you need to learn by God's grace and chastisement, or to serve in a way that you were not otherwise able to serve when you were healthy. Don't waste that opportunity. I forget what context I was in recently speaking about. Maybe it was even Sunday school, I can't even remember now. But talking about how would your life change if you knew that today was your last day. Now, people, you know, people in the world, they would have all kinds of answers. We should have all kinds of answers. There should be some, at least, like, extreme focus on what we're doing this day. But if we remember, and we're focused with that kind of a picture, we need to remember that even when God brings about sickness and life-ending illness, that we are to use those things for God's glory, steward them as best as we can. There is stewardship that we have to bear. So, any questions Before we move on to the last 3 points of our lesson this morning, questions. This is some big stuff. Emphasizing God's sovereignty and God's goodness over our sickness and our health, our life and our death, is a fundamental, important thing for us to remember as we seek to be healthy for the purposes of honoring God in life. I'm not talking about calorie intake or sugar intake or BMI or exercise minutes. I'm not talking about all those things in specifics. Those things apply for sure, but they're not metrics that we need to necessarily rule our lives by. We are to steward what God has given to us as best as we can for the purposes of honoring God. So, three purposes for health. Number one, or letter A there, to illustrate God's rule over creation. Really, one of the reasons why we should strive to exercise good stewardship and running of our health is to show that God rules over all of creation. We are individuals with bodies that suffer from sin, the effects of sin. When you're younger, you don't see that necessarily as quickly as when you get older when it comes to actually the way your body functions. But you will see that as you get older, we need to remember that it is God who created us and that God has ownership and he has authority over all creation, including my life and my health. And we can remember also that and cling to the reality that when we are sick or when we are unhealthy, it is God who heals, because he is the healer. Our life is a gift from the hand of the Lord, and it is God who can heal. One of the purposes of stewarding our health well is to remember to illustrate that God rules over all creation. Again, one of the ways that Jesus did this in his ministry was by restoring health. So John the Baptist, the forerunner, was told he would point to Christ and make the path straight for people to walk to Christ. John was put in prison early in the ministry of Jesus, like essentially really soon after Jesus started his ministry. And near the end of John's life, he sent a delegation to Jesus to ask whether Jesus was the one or the way to another. Now, some interpret that, I think it's understandable to interpret that, as John questioning near the end. This isn't working out like I thought it was going to work out. Are we waiting for somebody else? I think that's an understandable interpretation. I don't take that interpretation. I take it as John sending his disciples who were questioning, because John had the revelation from God. He knew exactly what was going on. I don't think he was clueless as to who Jesus was. I think he was not clear about exactly how it was going to work out, that's for sure. But when John sent the disciples, I think to essentially reconfirm to them that they were being led in the right way, because again, these men were disciples of John who was in prison, and Jesus wasn't the Messiah they thought they were looking for, the political leader, the great rebellion, a deliverer in that regard. They go to Jesus and they see all that he's doing, his ministry, and Jesus responds to these disciples, and he says, "Go report to John what you see and hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor of the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." And so Jesus, in his very ministry, showed God's rule over creation in his miraculous healing of the and bringing to health men and women. And so as we strive to be careful with how we care for our bodies and our health, we do the same type of thing. Try to show God's authority and God's rule over this area of life. If God has ruled that I ought not to be drunk, then I ought not to consume copious amounts of alcohol. If God has said that I need to be one who thinks and be sober-minded, I ought not to use things that alter my brain, so I can't do that. This has areas of health and activity. So that is one purpose for health, that we need to strive to be healthy. And again, healthy is not the magazine or the YouTube influencer or whatever it might be. There was a guy called, I think it was called the Liver King a while ago. He had this YouTube channel where he was all about just basically being a barbarian kind of man who just ate all the liver. And he was just as big, ripped, healthy guy. I'm pretty sure I saw a story recently that there was other supplements that he was doing that he wasn't putting on his YouTube channel. In other words, not everything you see on YouTube is true. It's not the full, not always the full story. Not saying there's not right principles in some of those things, but the point is, we don't want to use those crafted, doctored images and profiles and then superimpose that upon, this is what it means to be healthy, or to be, this is, if I'm not at this point, then I'm not healthy, or what it might be. Secondly, purpose for health is to serve God. We are not just here to twiddle our thumbs and to, because we're in America in the 21st century, to enjoy the amazing, opulent luxury that we all enjoy. The poorest person here lives better than Solomon did. The poorest person you know has more comforts than Solomon or any king back in the old times prior to, 1600 for sure did. Our purpose is not just to be here and enjoy life. Our purpose is to be here to serve. What does Paul say? Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Paul is in Philippians recounting his potential death in prison. He doesn't end up dying here, spoiler alert. But he does end up dying in prison later on. He says this. After he just gets going, speaking about how his imprisonment is the opportunity for many to preach the gospel, some to do it so as to put him down and to like get a leg up on Paul and to mock him. Others do it with good motives. Paul then says this in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, it will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that would be very much better for himself, for me," he's thinking. "Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake." Again, not just remaining on living, but why? To serve. To have fruitful labor. Verse 25, "Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." A purpose here is to serve. And again, just like there's not one cookie cutter example of what health, physical health looks like. Serving God in health, with your health, isn't the same for me as it is for you. It's not the same exact thing. The general principles apply for sure, but it doesn't always look the same. Those Christmas cookies that you make out of sugar cookies that have different cutouts. It's the same cookie, but they look different. Okay, bad analogies, Christmas style right there, but that's the picture. Again, it's not for pleasure, it's not for enjoyment, it's for service. That is why we are here. One of the reasons why we're here is for serving. Again, Paul isn't thinking about his potential continuing a life just to enjoy the company of his friends and the diminishing number of them that they were. Or whatever physical enjoyment of life. Maybe he really enjoyed the labor of tent making. Maybe he just loved a good stitch. Maybe he loved finding that right pole and making that right. Maybe he just loved that. I believe it. Why not? Taking pride, good pride in work well done is a great thing. That's not what he was concerned about. It was for service. Quoting here, what Paul's wrestling with is what you might call the ultimate health question. Should he live or should he die? Now, where I want to focus our attention is on his purpose for living. Paul doesn't see his health as the better of two options, living or dying. After all, heaven is way more comfortable than anything here could offer. Instead, Paul's purpose for living, for health, for vitality, has to do with the needs of the Christians in Philippi. If he was looking for the most enjoyable option, the easiest or most comfortable or least taxing option, he'd say, take me now, I'm done. So, one principle here that's similar to money, one important reason why God has given you health is to spend it in service to God and service to others. One of the reasons why God has given you the health that you have is to serve Him and serve others, ultimately for the glory and honor of God. I mean, we ought to think that the goal of our health is to use our bodies instead of preserve them. We should think of our health so as to be able to use our bodies for serving instead of just to preserve them. You preserve things in a museum, you use them on a work site. I enjoy woodworking. And I'll tell you what, there's all kinds of tools for measuring and all kinds of, you know, neat organization tools on walls and shops that I've seen. But there's just something about a guy with a skill saw and a carpenter square who goes out and just goes to town and puts those tools to use in an amazing and great way. It doesn't look great on the shelf because they're dirty and they're not the whatever. They might not be the best ever possible. You know what? They get used and they get put to good use. So the health that we've been given is to spend it in service to God and in honoring Him by serving and caring for others. Third, and just I would say to rightly enjoy God's creation, that is to work. God created Adam and Eve, put them in the garden, and said, take care of it. Cultivate it. That was work. We have a word nowadays that people don't like, chores. Chores are not a problem of the fall. Chores are part of God's good plan for human life. And there's so many things. There is such a blessing in the exhaustion of a day from a good day of work. So many of those days, you'll need a couple days, you'll need a day off for sure. But the point is, there is something about being tired from investing your day in the productive work that God has set before you. And we will work also in glory. God will have us do work to honor Him, to worship Him, to serve Him in the new heavens and new earth. We will have jobs to do. I mean, one of the greatest misconceptions about eternity is like clouds and harps, and that's all we're doing. That's not what eternity with the Lord will be. There's streets, and there's going to be trees growing on either side of this great river. And there'll be work to do. All will be to the service and honor and praise of God, but there'll be work to do. And so, if there was work before the fall, work after sin is finally dealt with, and there's work now, one of the things that we can do, and we have to purposefully steward our health, is so we can work well. And the practical illustration of that is, you work hard to, in God's plan, provide for those who are under your care. Husbands and wives in a family work hard, often very differently, but all for the same purpose of honoring God in the care of the family that He's given. One of the purposes of our health is so we can strive to work and enjoy what God has given us in creation. It's a lot easier to enjoy a hard day's work when you're staying healthy, striving to be as healthy as possible. It's a lot easier to enjoy all the ages and stages of children when you're striving to be healthy. And again, if you have sickness, if you have illness, if you have those things, it is not necessarily because of disobedience. It's not necessarily because of sinful lack on your part. It could be this is God's good plan for your own path to glorify Him and be made more like Christ. But in our health, we illustrate that God is in charge. We are here to serve Him, and we are here to work in general and to enjoy all that God has given us to enjoy. Let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this time. Lord, bless our time of fellowship and the service to follow. In Christ's name, amen.